Well, an article published yesterday on the Juba Monthly newspaper says that over 2 million people are living with HIV virus in South Sudan. And this particular article has raised many eyebrows, surprisingly, including from the South Sudan AIDS Commission. Well, the article quoted the AIDS Commission attributing this increase to negative perception on the use of condoms among South Sudanese. Now, Gabriel Attilio Narege is the Director for Prevention in the South Sudan AIDS Commission, and Dr. Kandiang Modi Dumo, Senior HIV/AIDS Advisor, USAID in South Sudan, joins me right now in the studio so we get to find out about the HIV prevalence in the country. Good morning, Dr. Kandiang, and good morning, Gabriel.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Mirai Breakfast. Good to have you. Let's start.
Thank you.
Let's start right away with putting the record straight. What is the HIV prevalence in the country as we speak today? Gabriel, start by telling us.
Yeah, thank you very much. The national prevalence in South Sudan is 2.5, according to the estimate. Mm-hmm. We call it spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Estimate
please.
Package. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So that's the actual estimate we are using currently for 2018.
Yes. So 2.5 in terms of figures. Mm-hmm. This is 2.5%. In terms of figures, what are we talking about?
Now, we are actually, this one is relates to, we have like 190,000 mm-hmm. people living with HIV in South Sudan.
Okay.
And which was the report which was actually given by Juba Monitor newspaper yesterday mm-hmm. is completely a misleading figure, and is actually confusing mm-hmm. because it quoted even the AIDS Commission. Yeah, actually, during the condomized training mm-hmm. on 12th, actually, I presented something very brief on current mm-hmm. HIV situation in South Sudan. Mm-hmm. Actually, the reporter got the news, the information wrongly. Even he was saying the number of people living with HIV globally is 2 million, including South Sudan. That was the original report he actually sent to his editor. Mm. Then, I don't know how they manipulated that one, then related to South Sudan, right. Saying over 2 million. Mm.
Yeah? Yes. Yeah. Let's not talk a lot about the report, about the article itself, but let's focus on, you said the number is 190,000 people living with HIV in South Sudan. That is the correct official number from the from the South Sudan AIDS Commission, from the Ministry of Health, and from the USAID. Yes, Dr. Kandiang, tell us more.
Well, thank you, Sabit. And I think, as my colleague Gabriel said, we usually don't have figures of the people living with HIV in South Sudan that have been really studied on an AIDS indicator survey. Mm-hmm. So what we are using is an estimate based on some parameters that usually we collect from the program data and other information that are used by the UN AIDS to develop or to generate the prevalence of the country and the total estimated number of people living with HIV. Mm-hmm. So this number is always flexible, or it varies from time to time that they do the estimates. So the current estimates is at 190,000 people living with HIV in the country. As the prevalence is said, it is around 2.5.
All right.
So these are the figures that we are supposed to be using as of now.
All right. Now, has there been an increase or a decrease in these figures and the prevalence in the country?
Of course, as I said, these figures varies from year to year. Like the last year estimates before this, we were having around 180. Mm-hmm. And this time we are having 190. Previously we had an average of almost 200. Mm-hmm. But even at this 190, it's a range. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the average figure, but the range is up to 204,000. This is the range, and the minimum is around 130,000. So it's within this range. All so right. We cannot just say it's over 2 million. It's not correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Gabriel, tell us which areas are high risk or are having high prevalence in the country.
Thank you for that. Actually, the equatorial region, given the former state of equatorial region, are the high burden region, by the way, because of so many factors.
Okay.
First of all, we have this region is just neighboring one of the countries which are having actually mature epidemic, like Uganda, Kenya. And another thing is actually the high mobility. People move frequently here and there, going to those countries. Another thing, we have actually a big number of sex workers in this region. And actually, and also low knowledge is playing a great role, actually, in doing that.
Lack First of all, awareness.
Lack of awareness.
And knowledge.
And yes. The knowledge is actually, it varies from low to extremely low in our towns, actually. Actually, these are the, and we have in this area here, in this region, or in these three main states, former states of
Equatorial region. You
we have
Eastern,
so many
Central and Western Equatorial.
Yes, we have so many entertainment avenues, centers like discos, and people actually mess there, especially the young people, even people who are having a lot of money, the rich people. They go there with coupled with that low knowledge. People now enter into.
So you're saying these entertainment places are, you know, how is it related to spread of HIV?
Of course, this is where usually people actually have sex. When you dance and drink, now you just create a relationship, you go for that. Some people actually they don't use condom. The rate of condom use is also another. Is related to actually having no knowledge or not aware, then a person may just expose to an infection.
Yeah. All right, let's talk of, you did mention the equatorial region, you did mention the reasons of this particular, you know, lack of knowledge. Basically, one of the most important thing you said is lack of knowledge, that is letting the prevalence of HIV to you know, be at where it is today. What are we doing? And in terms of condom, because one of the campaign that was launched, and Condomize was one of the campaign where this whole news originated from, of the 2 million, and now you've said, of course, it's 190,000. Dr. Kandiang, let's talk about the perception of South Sudanese and people in South Sudan on the use of condom. What is the perception like?
Okay, thank you, Savit. You know, usually you as a man might notice that people believe that for them to feel the enjoyment of sex better, they want to have it without any barrier between them. So for that reason, the use of condom rates is very low, as Gabriel said. Majority of people believe that when they use condom, they would not enjoy sex. That's their perception. And also, some people have a perception that HIV is something that is imaginary or it's not real. So they don't fear that they may get infected by HIV. And that is the problem we have. That's why without really communicating to our people very effectively about the reality of HIV infection and the easy way to prevent it by just simply using a condom consistently, correctly for every sexual act with a person that you don't know their status, then we are not doing anything.
All right. So more on the HIV stories, and particularly to you, Gabriel, from the South Sudan AIDS Commission. Now, for us to have this knowledge, what do people do to really prevent themselves? The ABCs have been said over and over again. Is it still the most effective way to preventing HIV?
No, thank you very much. That's a very good question, actually. And actually, the experts in HIV, especially the UNAIDS and the WHO experts globally, mm-hmm. realize that the rate of new infection is not going down rapidly because of these three methods of prevention, mm-hmm. the ABC. A single method or interventions are not adequate, actually, to prevent the general population in any country very fast. But now, we have actually applied, or we are now using a different approach. We call it combination prevention, in which we use different interventions or method. We have a biomedical method, so many things, including testing, including mother-to-child transmission. We have a treatment as a means for prevention, use of condoms, so many things. Mm-hmm. Also, we combined with the behavioral mm-hmm. aspects of it, like be faithful and reduce number of partners, change your lifestyle, and so forth. And also, we combine that with structural methods or intervention. That things to do now is the legal framework reform and empowerment of women and girls, mm-hmm. and also things to reduce the level of stigma and discrimination. Mm-hmm. So right now, because it has been realized that the combination prevention intervention or method have very high impact. Mm-hmm. Now, it's actually, we are realizing that by 2020, we are supposed to have, globally actually, mm-hmm. Sudan, South Sudan is one of the countries who actually signed a declaration in New York that we are going to apply or to use this combination prevention approach in order to catch up with other mm-hmm. countries. So, right now, and we begin now to do that, and it has already reflected in one of our national prevention strategy. The combination prevention method is well tied, and it's actually targeted different set or group of population in terms of how can we approach them, what are the needs, how can we strategize, who are the most at risk population. Mm-hmm. In this.
Yes, and let's start with that. Who are the most at-risk population here in South Sudan when it comes to HIV and AIDS? Dr. Kandiang?
Okay, thank you. You know, the most at-risk are, at times, we call them as the key populations. And these are the people who are at higher risk of getting infection with HIV because of the activities of their maybe because of their behavior or because of the work they are doing. For example, we call the female sex workers mm-hmm. and their clients. And when we talk of the clients of female sex workers, maybe we are part of them, isn't mm-hmm. it? Okay. And majority of the clients, anyway, are mainly the uniformed forces, including mm-hmm. the army, the police, all right? And then also the border riders, because these are guys who are, like, moving here and there. And then the long truck drivers, okay? These are some of the people who are considered to be at risk. And then also we have those group of people who are considered as men who have sex with men, although at the moment we don't have many of them, but they are there, okay? And, of course, we have the vulnerable children who are also at risk, like people in enclosed environment, like those in the prison, they are also at higher risks. Mm-hmm. So these are the groups of the vulnerable people, or what we call as the key priority populations, because they are at higher risk of being infected if we do not intervene with appropriate interventions for them to prevent infection mm-hmm. immediately.
Yes, Gabriel said earlier that the HIV prevalence hasn't gone up or low when it comes to, like, hasn't gone low when it comes to the infection rates, and why is it so? Why are people not coming out? Is it because of stigma? Is it because of are people willing to come out more these days to take their medication, declare their status, and live a healthy positive lifestyle than previously? Why is this not happening in order to reduce the rate of infections?
That's a very good question. The answer is, currently the main reason why many people are not getting to test is really stigma. And by the way, majority of people who are not being tested, or the people we are missing out at most, are the men. At least we have a better percentage in terms of the people we have on treatment. It's like over 60% are women. So it's the men who are missing out. And as you know, generally in the whole world, men are said to have bad health-seeking behaviors. So this is one of the reasons why they are out there, they are not on treatment, or they are not even diagnosed in the first place, and then they are not put on treatment. Mm-hmm. This is probably one of the reasons why we are not being able to say we are reaching academic control as soon as possible. Because a big number of people who are living with HIV that are supposed to be on treatment are not yet on treatment. Mm-hmm. Therefore, what are they doing? They are continuing to spread the virus to other people. As Gabriel said earlier, currently treatment itself is a form of prevention. Mm-hmm. That is why we have started the idea that once somebody is diagnosed with HIV now, that person should be started on treatment immediately. Not like previously where somebody would be put on a care plan to be monitored until when the CD4 cells comes down, then before starting them on antiretrovirals. These days, you started treatment, you get diagnosed now, you are supposed to start treatment today. Mm-hmm. Unless you have some reasons for not starting, because some people refuse to start, because they refuse the results. That is part of the stigma. And by the way, the more you start treatment on the time you are still energetic and you are still strong, the easier the viral load gets suppressed. And when the viral load is suppressed, that is what we call as undetectable, mm-hmm. then the answer will be untransmittable. This is the new theory where we talk of U equals to U. Mm-hmm. If my viral load is undetectable, the chances that I will transmit the virus to other people is very minimal, almost zero.
All right. Let's talk of globally now. HIV has been there for decades. This HIV virus has been there for decades. And up to now, it seems there's no immediate cure. What is happening with HIV? Why is there no cure?
Okay, that's a very good question. And the simple answer is that HIV, as we know, it's a virus. Like many other forms of viruses in the world, their cure is very difficult. And including the common cold virus, as you might know, you can't get a treatment for it. So that's why it only goes by its time. You suffer running nose until it disappears naturally. There's no proper treatment. So being a virus, it is still being looked for a proper cure. And the good news is that there are some forms of researches and studies that are looking into getting a vaccine, mm-hmm. which would be, I think, the first better breakthrough, mm-hmm. which would be able to allow prevention of HIV, after all, from infecting new people. And then by time, those who already have the virus, when they die off, that means that will be the end of HIV in the world again.
All right. Gabriel, there was a text message here about HIV when it comes to, you know, these figures. And this person is saying one person, and he particularly he pointed a situation where in Bor, a person will test positive in one clinic. He goes to the other clinic, it's negative. And it's a little confusing. Do we have, like, you know, the test kits in South Sudan? How effective are they?
Actually, the test kits are available. And sometimes it happens that if the procurement process is not well tight or well done, then it will be a kind of, there's a gap, mm-hmm. waiting for the shipping of the commodities into country. We have. They are standard. The test kits we are using in South Sudan, they are standard. And it has been actually quality assurance has usually been being done for this. But the issue of actually people being, a person being test negative and go to another clinic, this one, it entails a lot of factors actually around that. First of all, the expertise of the person who is actually doing the test. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the reagents themselves, are they actually still valid or expired? Mm-hmm. And the person who is actually doing the test, is he really well actually trained? He could read the results very well? These are actually the factors. And some people actually, reading the result is another actually, because some people, they assume that they know, but they are not doing. They are not professional, they are not well trained, they are not skillful. It's happening in some places also. Okay. It happens sometimes in around Maridi there. People complain of this also.
All right. So as before you leave here, let's just look particularly now on the report and the prevalence rate. Is it something South Sudanese should worry about right now? 190 people living with HIV, and what should people do?
You mean
190,000, rather, yeah. Not 190,000 people living with HIV. Should we be worried?
Actually, 2.5%, we call it low generalized type of prevalence. Mm-hmm. This should not be a big worry to the extent that we cannot be able. But the problem is the prevalence is mixed actually. Mm-hmm. In some part of the regions, you will find that there is a variation in the prevalence. If you take now just Western Equatoria, mm-hmm. although there is a drop, Western Equatoria has been leading with 6.8%, which is now higher than the national one. Mm. If you come now, mm-hmm. according to the antenatal sentinel surveillance conducted in 2017, now Yambio has gone very high, like 9.8% prevalence. This should be a very worrying prevalence, a kind of thing. Leave that alone. If you take Ezo now, mm-hmm. Ezo is showing us 14%, which is a concentrated type of what?
Wow.
We should be... Now, we have been saying, okay, we can be able to control the epidemic when, if the resources are actually available and adequate, and people are implementing the strategic intervention for the three pillars of the HIV response in the country properly. But now, the HIV is growing to the northern western part of the country, which we have been thinking that, like Ural, the Greater Lakes, and now you have mentioned Jonglei. Mm. It's growing. It's going up, and you know the issue of having a lack of awareness actually, mm-hmm. is creating a big problem. The coverage, we have not been doing very well in this because of issues to do with resources. You know, let me just give an example. We have conducted an assessment in Melut and Foluj 2016, just to know to know the knowledge and attitude of the people and the practice. We found that only 8% of the population, of the respondents, only knew about HIV. And these are people who came from the big towns, by the way. Okay. So actually, by the now, we should be worrying, because we are not actually implementing the strategic plan as needed.
All right. Dr. Kandiang, just before we go, you mentioned earlier briefly or slightly about, you know, many people think HIV is just it's not there, it's just something that does not exist, people just talk about it. What are some of the myths associated with HIV, and how do we go about it? Because I've had people even say, HIV the bigger man ends at it, just like it's very weak these days, doesn't matter if I have it or not, not knowing that if they don't take their medication, it can be fatal. I want you to give us now genuine information on some of the myths associated with HIV and what should we do about it.
Okay, thank you, Sabit. You know, what comes in my mind first is a story of a certain general in South Sudan who went to a sex place, and the lady tried to negotiate for them to have sex with a condom, mm-hmm. and the general was said to have been asking the lady if you fear that you have AIDS or you have HIV to transmit to me, how long does the HIV take to kill me?
Mm.
If I can die of a bullet in just some few seconds, and the HIV that can take me 7 to 10 years before it kills me, what is the problem?
Okay.
So he negotiated his way to have sex with the lady without condom.
Mm.
And this is a true story which we got from sex reports of the lady who really gave that true story because of her fear of our own people not willing to use condom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the greatest problem here. You know, people believe that maybe if you have HIV, one of the myths is like you have to have sex with a young girl and you will get cured. Is already another risk, which is actually pushing people to transmit HIV into younger women, which is a dangerous one.
And it's not true, absolutely.
It isn't true completely. That's why it's called a myth.
A myth, yes.
The other one is like some people, because of the lack of knowledge, they believe that once you get your first dose of the treatment, you take it all, then you are done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not true, because HIV is not the kind of disease that is treated like malaria and you get cured and wait for another attack of malaria to get another treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Treatment for HIV must be from the very beginning until the end of one's life. If you are going to live for another 50 years, because people now with the HIV treatment, you can stay for more than 50 years with HIV in yourself, and you die of some different type of, cause of death other than HIV-related death. So this is another myth that we should try to make it clear that when one is diagnosed with HIV, one must have treatment for life. And once you are on treatment, you reduce the chance of dying from HIV-related death or illnesses. Of course, there are these other kind of things that people say AIDS is an American ideology for discouraging sex. You see, AIDS.
Yeah, I saw that some article like that.
Exactly. But that is also wrong because it isn't true. There are those myths that some people think HIV was created in a laboratory by some people in order to really reduce the population of Africa or Africans. That is also not true, because HIV is not only in Africa, it is all over the world. So what is important is therefore that we need to really understand that HIV is a real disease. It's an infection that can be acquired through unprotected sex or through mother to baby.
All right.
During pregnancy, birth, or breastfeeding. So we need to prevent it by using preventive methods such as avoiding contact or sexual relationship with somebody that you don't know their status, or if that is to happen, better use a condom to protect yourself and to protect the other partner also.
All right, let's leave it like that. That's the time we have. Thank you so much for coming to Mirage Studios. Gabriel, I'll give you in less than 30 seconds what will be your final remarks.
Actually, my final remark is that my message to our people outside there, we have been talking about HIV for long, but people are not quite attentive. Now, the epidemic is becoming very serious. It's growing, and people should take cautions about the prevention method. They should learn. They should know the main line of prevention. Secondly, they should know how the disease can be transmitted from one person. These are the key messages people should know, so that our people can now prevent themselves from getting infection, because the new infection is still actually lying between 13,000 annually, 14,000 people. So we need to actually drop that one.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Kadiang, in less than 30 seconds, please.
Okay, I would just say that the first important thing in prevention is to know your status. So let's get tested. And when you know that you don't have it, you do your best to prevent yourself from getting HIV. And if you find that you already have the HIV virus in you, get treatment and prevent infecting other people.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Kadiang Modi Dumo, who is a senior HIV AIDS advisor, USAID South Sudan. And we also have Gabriel Atilio Narege, who is director for prevention in South Sudan HIV AIDS Commission. Thank you so much for coming to Mirage Studios. Do appreciate your time.
Thank you.